Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Let's continue our discussion we've been having on the fruit of your life. Okay, quickly, let's just read once again from the book of Romans chapter 12. We read that last time, but we did not get to the thing I wanted to explain. It said that, from verse 4, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. There are those who prophesy, let them exercise their gifts, all right, of prophecy, according to the proportion of their faith." He said, "If he serves, let the person exercise in his serving according to the proportion of his faith. If he's teaching, let him wait upon his teaching according to the proportion of his faith." Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, and I give a few examples like that. Now, you see why we read this. I'll get back to it in a moment. But let's remember what we read from Luke chapter 13. We are on earth. God is supplying our nourishment. God is supplying our resources. And for that reason, we must have fruit in our lives. Emphasis again, it's not only preachers that are in ministry. Every Christian is in ministry. I read last time from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, but I won't read it again because of time today. We saw that he gave some as apostles, evangelists, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints so that they can all do the work of ministry. That everything we do is a ministry. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, that one died for all, that all those who live will no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died and rose again on their behalf. He didn't die for preachers alone, so that they are the only ones that will now live for him. No, everybody who he has forgiven of their sins are supposed to live for him. We said fruit is in two categories. There's a moral fruit, all right, in which your life is conforming every day more and more to the character of God. God is looking out for that. So we read from Galatians chapter 5 for that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, and all of those things. Now, we said that the way by which that fruit comes into your life, when it said the fruit of the Spirit, what it was saying is that if you are sowing into the realm of the Spirit, read it in context, you will get that. If you are sowing into the realm of the Spirit, these things come into your life naturally. And how do we do that? He said, it is by feeding upon the word of God. Jesus said that this is how you abide in me, is when my words abide in you. And I said, having concluded on that matter of the first set of fruits, that is your personal life, there is fruit that God expects in the work that you do. We said your work is a ministry. It is not only church that is ministry for Christians. Everything that you are doing is a ministry. And God gave you life so that you will perform a particular ministry for him. And what I've been emphasizing, which I want to emphasize again, that when we use the word ministry, therefore, in your life, it may not be what we these days call ministry, that is a preaching ministry. You can be a teacher, and that is your ministry. You can be a pastor, and that is your ministry. You can be an immigration officer, that is your ministry. You can be a policeman, and that is your ministry. You can be a lawyer, and that is your ministry. You can be a doctor, and that is your own ministry. I said something before, let me say it again. I'm not saying you go there to go and make money to serve God. I'm saying the very doing of that work is the service of God. It is not as if I become a movie star and when I make a lot of money, we use the money to serve God. No. Acting, all right? Portraying things on screens for people, for you, is the work of God. Therefore, you do it with righteousness. We say righteousness means that you know how God says things should be done and you are doing it like that. In fact, that in your life, I was trying to define something last time. I'll continue in it today. I was trying to explain something that, you see, we have to know what God means by something if we're asking him for it. And why I went into that, time ran out on me. That is, when you're asking God for something, you must know exactly what he means. Are you getting my point? When you are asking for it, so that when you agree with him, his power flows into your life. I'll develop that further in a moment. But let me quickly clarify why I was bringing it up. The reason why I was bringing it up is this. A lot of times people are asking for jobs. You know, that's what I began to say when I now left it off, trying to explain some other things. A lot of times people are asking God for jobs. You must understand what God means, what he calls a job, before you can ask him for it. Otherwise, you will spend long. Are you getting me? You will spend a long time in waiting for it. And remember what I said, that if you're a Christian, the meaning of life to you is different from the popular meaning. Hear what I said? If you're a Christian, the meaning of life to you is different from the popular meaning. I gave an example last time. Everybody may be driving cars. They have their reasons for driving it. But if you, as a Christian, you want to pray to God for one, then you ask him, what is a car to me in your eyes? Are you getting my point? What did you create it to be? Now, let me get back to what I was saying about jobs. For most people, a job is how I get money. That's the primary thing about it. A job is, if I don't get it, I'm dead. What is a job? That's which I use to secure my children's future. I said something last time, that in the kingdom of God, things are different. God says in the kingdom of God, all other things are added to you once you are seeking his righteousness. Are you getting what I'm saying? So therefore, what is God's idea of a job? That's what I'm going to bring out. Talking about establishing righteousness. Remember I said, it is your duty and mine to establish righteousness. I'll tell you this. When God says this is a job for most Christians, you know what it means? For us Christians, what it means is this. That this is the opportunity I give you to be a blessing to somebody else. I didn't send this so that you will get money. Number one. Number two, this is the ministry I give you. I'm giving that to you where you will go out and establish my righteousness. Are you getting my point? Third on the line is, I may choose to send your resources through that. And listen, let me tell you the truth. A lot of the things we do in life as Christians, which are important to God, which is the thing that he called us to do, we may not get money from it. Do you get the point I'm making? Please, I pray people will understand it. If Christians understand this, they will pray to God like this. Say, God, I want to be a commissioner. They will not join any political party. They will be commissioners. If Christians truly get this point, they will pray to God, I want to be a minister. A man can be in his office. He's built a business. And he looks and says, God, this thing doesn't have to be like this. NEPA can't work in a day. Suddenly he's thinking, and he discusses with his friends. And they'll say, guys, I think we should be the ministers of power, or minds, whatever it is. And they will pray. They will not join a political party. God will make them ministers. Are you getting my point? Listen, I know all the while I've been saying, I'll talk about the power of grace. That's what is called the power of grace. What the person just understood is the reason why God created that office. For example, I wake up in the morning. I say, God, look at the skill I have. I have to bless somebody. I will get a job rapidly. Do you get the point I'm making? But if I wake up in the morning and say, God, I'm hungry, nothing to do. That is, I never get the point. Let me tell you something. If you need food, pray for it. Ask for it. Ask for it. Listen, in the kingdom of God, I have realized it. God actually, Jesus said something. The birds of the air, they don't do anything for me. I feed them regularly. The flowers of the field, what do? Nothing. I make sure they are well clothed. And Jesus said, Solomon in all of his glory, they didn't wear clothes as expensive as these flowers wear. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what I mean by, as Christians, we must get God's thinking. We must align our thoughts with him. I went into that when I was trying to explain the principle, that it is our duty. It's your duty, it is mine, to establish righteousness. And most of the things God gives us to do in life is purely so that we might there establish righteousness. For those who are in the world, most of the things they do is so that there they can get money from. Are you getting what I'm saying? But for us, no, it is first so that there I might establish the righteousness of God. That's our duties as believers. So you see Daniel, he was there in Babylon. At the end of the day, Nebuchadnezzar gave his life to Christ, if I may put it like that. It is not about being caught as a federal government officer. Would they catch me or they wouldn't catch me? That's why I'm not stealing money. You know, I said the other time that you find we live in a country where most people are criminals. Now, it's not because it's not unique to Nigeria. It's just because Nigerians don't catch criminals much. Do you understand? So people are encouraged to keep on in their criminality. You understand? It's a fruit of the seed of sin, of the seed of Satan. It's devil. It's called flesh, where demons dwell. That's why people are like that. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? Now, bring that issue here. You see, Daniel went into that. He didn't see his office as where do I get something from? So, you know, I tell to people all the time, when your uncle becomes a minister, this is how you know you are covetous. If you start rejoicing amongst your friends, say what happened? Say, my uncle is now a minister, a commissioner. If you start dancing, ask yourself, what is the cause of dance? Is it that his blood pressure is going to come down? You know it's not true. Is it that he will now sleep better? You know, my uncle didn't used to sleep well. Now he's a commissioner, he will sleep well. It's not true. Why are you dancing? It is because, boys, it's our turn. And if after a few months of calling your uncle, I'm going to visit him in Abuja, he does not perform, you start telling everybody in the town, in the village, that my uncle is very wicked. Don't mind him. He does not know his own people. Then you turn it to nepotism, you know. You go back home and start cursing him. And people from here, that's how they are. When they get there now, they forget their people. Our people are like that. When they carry them there, they forget. Forgetting that, what skill do you have to be of service to him? Nothing. What job were you doing before? You were a university lecturer or secondary school teacher or primary school teacher. How is that going to contribute to the life of a minister of power and might that your uncle has become? But you are cursing the man every day because he didn't give you contract. No, I said be born again. In that area, you need it badly. Most Nigerian Christians, they need it. In fact, a lot of people, if you go to church and tell our pastor, Pastor, have fun. Good afternoon, sir. I just want you to know that, thank God for me. Amen. My uncle has just been appointed a special assistant to the president. Even the pastor will call Thanksgiving. Next Thanksgiving, he will give you a letter to invite your uncle. Why? Because, now, we do all of these things, all right? Because we think we are going there for what we can get. We have missed the definition of God. If we are Christians, we must get his definition. I was saying, it's our assignment in life to establish righteousness. And when God sets us in places, what he said is, my son, my daughter, go there and establish my righteousness. There are different ways by which you do that. One major way is that go there and be an example of believers. Do you get my point? Be an example. Be an example in word and in practice. Let people see that this fellow, there must be something about him, even though he has not yet preached. I said something some time ago, that is the main way by which we preach. Many people, I said, their lives have turned other people away from Christianity. In fact, some people, they will be surprised the day they find out that maybe the man say, maybe your pastor comes to work that day. I say, hey, brother ABC, how far now? Your neighbor will say, bro, what? You're a Christian too, and you have been in the same office for the last 1 year. But it should be more of, oh, I understand now. No wonder. Though he has never spoken, I knew there was something about him. Are you getting my point? It's our duties. We go out, we establish righteousness. When we build our businesses, listen, there are little things people do in the market that they used to cheat people. When God gives you a shop in that market, it's not so that you two, you will get money. If it's just money, he can. If there are other ways, there are easier ways than you having to struggle every day in that place. What does he put in the midst of the struggles? He said, in the midst of these struggles, demonstrate my righteousness. You be different. That's what he's saying. He's not saying make money. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians say things that God says, make money so you can go and pay tithe. Make money so you can go and give offering. Listen, offering is very good. Amen? And without offering, those listening to me on radio will not be able to listen to me. Because broadcasting costs money. So I know that offerings are good. But what am I saying? That's not the primary reason why most people are in that place. The reason why you are there is so that you can establish his righteousness. Just so I can complete that. Another reason why God gives you a job or anything to do in life, very important, is that one we began with so that he can develop your divine character. Let me put it like this. So they can bring forth divine character in greater purity in you. Very important. You know, I just want to add that one to it. It's not part of the main thing I'm saying, because we have dispensed on the issue of moral excellence, but I just want to explain that briefly. One of the reasons God gives you a job, one of the reasons why God gives you an assignment, one of the reasons he gives you a ministry, is not just so that you will do that ministry, but so that the interactions with people while you are doing them will develop the divine character that he wants out of you. Let us assume you are a very angry fellow. You have no control over your anger. As long as you are alone in the bush, even you will not know. You hear what I said? As long as you are alone. But God can see it. And he wants your character purified. So he will put you in the midst of people that will irritate you and give you stroke from high blood pressure. Are you following what I'm saying? And if you are there every day blaming them, it is them. It's the bus driver. It is the Okada rider. It is my neighbor. We were watching one episode of Touched by an Angel a few days ago, my wife and I. And this woman was going around. Of course, she reported her neighbors to some people who could do something, that they were abusing children. And these people were foster parents. So eventually government came, removed all the children with them, and started investigating them for abusing children. So the woman who reported to the fellow who started this now came and met her and said, I'm so happy you are finished with that one. Now, let me now tell you, I have another neighbor. Those ones, they make their children walk in the yard. I have another neighbor. They lock their children in the garage. By the time they finish, the woman looked at the person who was talking to her. That's the investigating woman said, so what you are telling me is that all your neighbors are child abusers. Ah, the woman said, that's what I said. Then she knew she had made a terrible mistake. So they went and investigated the case again and discovered that it was a lie. That woman was the one that had a problem, not her neighbors. Listen, if all your neighbors have problems, you have a problem. And in case they really have a problem, then you are their solution. You get what I'm saying? You must settle there and allow the Spirit of God to walk through you, and you do something good for God, not going around whining and grumbling and complaining. This is what I'm making. The main reason why God put you there is to let you see that your irritability ratio is too high. God just looked and said, you are too irritable. You are quick to anger. Therefore, and you don't know because you were living alone in the bush. Are you getting my point? You know, I was teaching a class of students earlier today, and I said to them, I said, any man who has been married to the same wife for 10 years, 20 years, must be a patient man. It doesn't mean he was patient when he married. But 20 years, he learned patience along the way. Are you getting my point? If you see single boys, they are never as patient as married people. It's not possible. It's not possible. Not because they are bad. It's just that the married man, God has put him in one room on one bed with another adult. All the divine character in you will develop. Amen? It will develop. When you are alone, I mean, I was in a book at that time, Against the Odds, the story of Ebony, John Johnson. He said when he first started the company, he used to fire people every day. After a while, he realized it was pointless firing people every day. He had to learn to teach people, correct people, train people, help people. Then he stopped firing them every day. Did people change? No, he had to change. You know, that's one reason why God gave you a job. That's why he gave you a ministry. Most of us just want to go out there and do something for him. Let's never forget. One of the reasons he gave us that thing is for us. That fruit he's looking for in us. You see, you know, one of the things I found out when I was studying those days is that, you know, I was wondering, now listen to this, why didn't God just protect David from Bathsheba and Uriah? People say he should have gone to war when kings were going to war. That's one level of truth, but it's a low level. It's a low level. You want to know the truth? David was a man after God's heart. God loved David. But anytime God will see David's heart, there was one thing he saw in it he never liked. There was no preaching you could preach to David to make him repent. And it was a dangerous thing. God couldn't let him die with it. So say, what do? We have been protecting him all this while. Let's leave him alone for a small time. Once they left him alone, man, now the boy, Bobo began to watch women with the bed. Is that the first time he's seen a woman bathe? You know how many wives he had? They all bathed. You think they were not bathing? They were bathing.
girls used to go to the bathroom too.
You think his concubines were not basin?
They were. Why was it that it is the basin of Bathsheba that was now the problem?
God was just watching him. That thing was inside him. God had protected all this while, and I believe, this is my conviction, all right, that he had given him opportunities before to repent of it. But it isn't a small thing. So God said, okay, fine, leave him now. Let him see the fruit of what's inside his heart. You know the rest of the story. First he courted Bathsheba, then he quit Uriah, then he married Bathsheba, then the prophet showed up, became died. You know, your story began inside the house, war began. Tamar, his brother attacked him. His brother killed the other one. Next thing, Absalom. You know, the whole story in the whole household. When he was through, David was thoroughly repentant. And he had to pray, search me, O Lord. Are you getting my point? That was why. You think he just woke up one day and said, hey, God, search me, I don't try. No. When he suffered from the fruit of that experience, the man had to pray. And that's why as Christians, you must read your Bible. And once you see David chasing Uriah's wife, don't say, what's wrong with this man? Carry your Bible, kneel down, say, God, please, the time I chased Uriah's wife, forgive me of my sins. I'm serious about that. Imagine that you are David. I can assure you, most men are not one quarter as righteous as David was. Even though they believe that they are Christians. They think so. So when you read it, say, ah, Brother David, why you do like this? Then turn around and say, Brother Banky, don't try that kind of thing. No. Yes. You take the sin of David, pray about it in your life, kneel down there. These things were recorded for our learning. You are getting what I'm going to explain. So what am I saying here? This is the principle. When you go out, one day they are going to withhold your salary. They will say it's fresh fuel, increase in fuel price. Whatever. They won't pay it. There is something that God is using that one to help you with. Believe me, there is. One of my friends, when I was crossing the country, he said one thing the church forgot is that he should have gone to the Bible to check in the time of crisis, how did the church react? Take an example from there. Are you getting what I'm saying? What am I saying? At such times, you also ask yourself, what is it that is Christian reaction? But what I'm bringing up is, listen, you ask yourself, what training am I getting in this situation? Like I said, I've already experienced that earlier. I came to my mind, I feel like I'm only explaining it. The reason why God gives you anything, it could be a job, listen to this, it could be a wife. You know, if I'm the way I am today, if I'm like this 12 years ago, my wife would have enjoyed her husband better. I'm not perfect too. You know, that's my point. But periodically, you get better. It could be a wife that God gave you. There is something he wants you to do in establishing righteousness in that home. For you husbands, listen, if you're a Christian husband, it's not just your wife you're supposed to love. You're supposed to set an example for young boys who want to marry after you how to love wives. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it could be a wife. It could be children. In all of it, we are establishing righteousness. And my emphasis again today is for us to know that it is the work of God. I've read the stories of preachers. They preach and preach and preach, and their children develop hating ministry. They hate the very concept of ministry. Because they see ministry as the reason why they did not have a father. They see ministry as the reason why their father was poor and couldn't give them anything. Anytime you bring the idea of God or ministry, you don't know the anger that's inside them. They know how much their mother suffered because this man said he was preaching the gospel. It's not right. Those children are a ministry. If you were not willing to minister on them, you should not have married, or you should have prayed that, God, this one that I want to marry, please don't give us children. It's possible. It's not a sin. It's not a sin. But he has given them to you, my brother, my sister. They are a ministry. They are a ministry. You are a boss. You employed people. Don't cheat them. Pay them their wages. You are getting what I'm saying? Give them what is just and right. Give them what is due to them. Why? Because they are the ministry you are doing. I've worked in places before. All we do is anoint premises. Any money we have, a guy will carry, go to church and go and give offering. The people that made the money, you never pay salary. How can you go to church to go and give offering? With which money now? The person working for you must be paid, not only paid, paid decently. I gave an example last time that Henry Ford, one of the things that marked him out, a university in the United States about 5 years ago, they gave him, of course, a posthumous award. Of course, he died many years ago. But they said he's the greatest entrepreneur ever that they recognize in America. That is, no entrepreneur has ever lived that's as great as this man. And one of the things he based his principles on is that if you work for me and this is the only job you do, haba. From here, you should be able to eat. From here, you should be able to take care of yourself and your family. I mean, if I can't do that, then please, I sack you. You're getting the principle. For when they say, you are paying too much, you're making labor expensive, say, I'm not paying too much. I'm just sharing the profit. If the company is not making money, I close the company. What I mean is that if I can't pay the staff, I lay them off. But if the people are making money, then let's share it. And I've seen people like that, who what they do, that when there's distress, they'll call the staff together. Say, I am sorry, I can't pay anymore. Will you guys be willing to take a reduction in salary? I've heard different stories. If I have two in my mind right now. And the people will say, yes, sir, no problem. Because they know. And these same people, one of them have in mind, when things turned around, he increased his salaries back. And this is what I'm thinking about. Paid them in arrears for the times that he reduced their salary because his economy was bad. If you're a Christian, you know, there's a book I recommend for all Christian businessmen to go and read. It's titled Business by the Book by Larry Bucket. I'm not saying it so that you can go and buy it from my shop. I don't sell it. But if you're a businessman, please read it. The book is called Business by the Book by Larry Bucket. And it's I read of people, employees that hated the name Christ Jesus because their boss is a Christian. That is, the reason why they hated God was that this our guy is a servant of God. And they said, if he's anything, if he's anything like the God he serves, then that God is a very, very wicked soul. Larry Bucket said, when he counseled with the man came to ask him to do, you know, check his company for him. He looked around. He told the guy, you know what you are doing? You're a bad representative of God for your staff. And you know the annoying part? You know, this is one thing Christian businessmen do. In this company, we must have prayer meeting every morning. This is the day that he hasn't collected salary. That the Lord has made. Our guy just bought a new car. He never pay a salary. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I hope the boss dies. That's what the man used to do. His employees, they must hear Bible story by force. He would bring preachers to the company. And they're all looking at him like, this guy. All right. The devil is better than this fellow. When Larry Bucket was through with the guy, he told him, listen, you don't need this thing. You, go, train yourself. The man went, trained himself in the word of God. And the first thing he did was to stop all that clapping and singing in the office. He said, it's not necessary. He started paying his staff properly.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or PastorBanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.